Hello, fight fans, and welcome to another edition of Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tom Zaffino. This week we have a 15-fight card, headlined by Stephen Thompson and Kevin Holland. That's going to be the only 5-round fight on the card. This one will be in Orlando, so there will be a full crowd, and looks like it's going to be a fun one. So we've got 3 cards left. We have stretched our run in cash to 8 straight weeks now. Looking to run the table, as I've been saying for the past few weeks, to end 2022. And then we go into our little bit of a winter break where we'll have about a month off in between cards. So looking to finish strong. I do like this card. 15 fights is a lot of fights, a lot to get through. So I'm going to try to hurry through it. And we'll just jump right in with the first fight is in the strawweight division. We have Yasmin Arigi taking on Estela Nunes. This is a very close fight on the feet. I think if it stays standing, it's more of a 50-50 fight. So the odds being heavily in favor of Hyrigi, I don't really like. But the one difference in this fight is she has strong body lock takedowns and solid wrestling. So, and the problem with Estela Nunes so far that I've seen is her ability to stop takedowns or get up when she does get taken down. She fights pretty well at the beginning. To stop the takedowns, she does do a decent job of getting up, but for the most part, I think Hyrigi with the grappling advantage is going to make the difference in this fight. And the odds, like I said, not huge. I'm not a big fan of the big gap, but it is Hyrigi is the play here for me, and it really just comes down to the grappling. And as long as she grapples, I think she takes this fight. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Francis Marshall taking on Marcelo Rojo. Marshall is making his debut, which often does give me pause. But in this matchup in particular, this kid likes to wrestle. He just went 3 rounds on the Contender Series. So I know cardio is going to be there for him. He doesn't seem to have any problems with cardio. He can push a pace. And the main thing is, Rojo, while he does have sharp striking, solid fighter. He struggles with grapplers. So it's a tailor-made fight for Marshall. Come in, make a nice debut for himself. And, as long as the bright lights of the UFC aren't too much for him, I do think he's going to be a very good value on this in this fight. Not very big favorite here. I think he was minus 180. So the DraftKings price is going to be relatively affordable for somebody who we expect to wrestle. And, yeah, I think Marshall's one of my favorite plays on this card, despite the fact that it is a debut. But sometimes we take those fights. Next fight is in the lightweight division. We have Genaro Valdez taking on Natan Levy. I just not a big Levy fan. He is another guy that has strong wrestling. His striking is pretty solid, but he slows down. Valdez pushes a heavy pace. Throws heavy volume, just overall solid fighter. And I just think the pace is going to be too much for Levy in this fight. So even if Levy gets off to a good start, which I could see first round, maybe land a couple takedowns, maybe win the round, I just don't think cardio wise he's going to be able to hold up with the pace that Valdez fights with. And Valdez does throw up. He does have nice chokes. He will grab submissions. So Natan Levy gets a little bit tired. We could see a submission in this fight. But overall, I just think as this fight goes on, second and third rounds, Valdez is going to be the more active guy. And that's really just what's going to make the difference. It's about the pace. And I think he gets the job done. Our next fight is in the women's flyweight division. We have Tracy Cortez taking on Amanda Ribas. Another very close fight here. Tracy Cortez, very good wrestler, very good. With jiu-jitsu. Amanda Ribas, also very good jiu-jitsu. Ribas is the better striker. I think overall, well-rounded game goes to Ribas. Main thing is she can't stay on her back and play guard because Cortez will take advantage and she will rack up time on top. She will rack up the control time and she can win rounds that way. But generally speaking, Ribas isn't somebody that's going to get held down for 3 rounds. Even if she does get held down a little bit, she will work her way back up. She is the better striker. She does have a very dangerous guard, so she could catch a submission. I'm not saying she will, because Cortez is a very good grappler. But I just think overall experience, overall game, I think it goes to Amanda Ribas, and I think she wins this fight. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Darren Elkins taking on Jonathan Pierce. Darren Elkins, another guy, when I hear his name, I envision him taking a lot of damage. That is his nickname. But at some point, you can only take so much damage, and he's taken a lot over the past few years. And Jonathan Pierce is another guy who's a high-paced fighter, very good grappler. He's going to have, I don't know about a huge advantage in the striking, but I do think he can, the pace on the feet is going to go to Pierce. He will be the more dangerous fighter on the feet. Elkins is a guy that likes to push a pace, likes to wrestle. We have seen him slow down in a few of his fights recently, and really the wins that he's had are not really against the highest level competition over the past few years. So I just think Jonathan Pierce, since his debut, when he just got wiped out by Joe Lauzon, it was Joe Lauzon's hometown. It was his first time fighting back, and Joe Lauzon just came out guns blazing and took Pierce out. Terrible debut for Pierce. But since then, he's had five fights. They've all gone very well for Pierce. Puts up big scores on DraftKings. And yeah, I just think his pace, his wrestling is going to be too much for Darren Elkins, who just at this point in his career has taken a lot of damage. And I just don't see it getting better in this fight. So Jonathan Pierce, very good play here for me. Our next fight is in the lightweight division. We have Michael Johnson taking on Mark Jakasi. Jakasi has really turned to his wrestling. I believe, did I write it down? I forget. I think he had 19 takedowns in his last two fights, which is all, that's a ton of takedowns. He's going to look to wrestle Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson has been wrestled in the past. Johnson is a very good striker. He's a sniper. I mean, he can catch anybody on the feet, so you have to be careful with him. But generally speaking, he's a guy who finds a way to lose more often than not. And Jakasi, his path is to wrestle, and I don't see any reason why he wouldn't continue that path in this fight. So Mark Jakasi, wrestle, 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 maybe find a submission, but I see him landing six or seven takedowns, a lot of control time, potentially very boring fight. But even if it's on the feet, Mark Jakasi is a very good striker. So it's not like he's going to be in trouble there. I mean, obviously there's danger with Johnson, but Jakasi can hold his own against anybody on the feet. So overall, well-rounded wrestling is the difference maker in this fight. You have to roll with Jakasi. Our next fight is in the lightweight division. Again, we have Scott Holtzman taking on Clay Guida. I haven't liked the body language of Holtzman in his last couple fights. He's fought some tough guys, but he just really didn't look like he was there at all. Took a lot of damage in those fights, was finished in both of those fights. And he's taking on Clay Guida, who is known for pushing a pace. Never, the body language of Clay Guida is never bad. This guy's bouncing around from the beginning of the fight, after the fight. The guy can get knocked out and he'll still be bouncing around when they're standing there announcing the winner. Not that Clay Guida really gets knocked out, but the guy is just, he's just an energizer bunny. And Holtzman, potentially this is his last fight. So, could look at that two ways. He could come out looking, trying to be his best on the way out, or he could already be, his mind could be in other places. But one thing I know is the pace of Clay Guida is going to be high. He's going to look to wrestle. And I just feel like this is a winnable fight for Clay. He's the underdog here. I think it's a solid underdog play. He's in every fight. And just the way Holtzman has looked as of late, taking a lot of damage. Yeah, I don't know. I just think his better days are behind him. Our next fight is in the strawweight division. We have Emily Ducati taking on Angela Hill. Angela Hill, another fighter who is in a lot of close fights, goes to a lot of decisions, a lot of split decisions in her career. I like Ducati here. I think she's just a very good fighter, well-rounded, composed, heavy leg kicks, good striking. I feel like this is going to be a very close fight, usually is with Angela Hill. But Angela Hill is hittable. She can be wrestled a bit. I just think Ducote can get the job done here. Not a super confident play. Angela Hill looked very good in her last fight, but she was taking on Lupi Godinez, who was taking it on short notice, and Godinez did not fight her normal style, and her normal style is to wrestle, and I just don't think she really had the cardio. It just didn't look like she had the cardio in that fight. So I don't know how much we can take away from that, but Hill did look good. She is tough. She's always a tough out. She's been in a lot of high-profile fights. So this is a big test for Ducati, but I do think Ducati gets the job done. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Phil Rowe taking on Nico Price. This is going to be a fun one. Nico Price fights generally are, except for when he fought Cowboy, and he was just, you know, excited to be in there fighting Cowboy and fought to a draw, which was a... I still, every time I see Price, I just... That angers me. Had a potential 15-0 card that week and ended up going 14-0-1 because Nico Price wanted to celebrate fighting one of his, you know, one of his heroes, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, that's a tangent. Another time. Story for another time. But Phil Rowe is the more dangerous grappler in this fight. And I really do think there's potential that he can come away with a submission in this fight. I like Rowe. He's another guy who just seems to turn it on in the second round. First round doesn't always go his way. But Nico Price, also a guy that doesn't typically start fast. He kind of builds into a fight. So there's, you know, potential. We could see good things from Rowe right off the bat. And I think when it really comes down to it, the grappling of Phil Rowe is gonna show up here. I think as a dog, he's very live, and I also think he's live to land a submission. So I do like Phil Rowe in this fight. It's generally a pretty exciting fight, like I said, when Nico Price is involved. But I do think Phil Rowe gets the win here, and I do like a little dabble on the submission prop. Our next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Eric Anders taking on Kyle Daukaus. Anders is just, he's just a slug, man. He's, I don't know. He's low volume, looks to grapple. Half the fight's going to be contested with him trying to hold a single up against the cage. And I don't know. He just doesn't offer a lot. He does have good power. If he lands clean on anybody, he can knock him out, but it's not something we've seen too often. Kyle Daukaus coming off a pretty brutal fight in his last fight where Roman Dolidze kind of just rolled through him does worry me a little bit, but Daukaus is a very good grappler. So if Anders does want to grapple, Daukaus would welcome that. You know, I think he has very good jiu-jitsu potential to submit Eric Anders, especially as he gets tired. Daukaus is a tall guy, long guy, good length or good distance control, solid overall fighter. I just think Eric Anders doesn't offer a lot. The upside here is with Kyle Daukaus. I'm going to roll with Kyle Daukaus. Our next fight is in the middleweight division with the aforementioned Roman Dolidze taking on Jack Hermanson. Dolidze's taking this fight on short notice. If he had a full camp for this, I may lean his way. I do like his power. I do like his grappling. Jack Hermanson is one of the top middleweights in the world. He's always up there in the top 10. He's always taking on tough guys. Doesn't always go his way, but he's always in the fight. He's very, very dangerous. I think the grappling kind of negates itself with these guys. They both have very good submissions. They're both dangerous on the ground. Dolidze does have the power advantage, but Jack Hermanson's defense is very good. He moves very well. He fights well at distance. And I think really when it comes down to it, he's a smart fighter, high IQ fighter. And when it comes down, when the fight gets long, I just think he's going to have the advantage. I think he'll have the cardio advantage. He was looking, he was training to fight a wrestler in Brunson. So if Dolidze does want to wrestle, you know, Hermanson's ready for that. He's been training for that. And like I said, he does have very good grappling. So I just think overall, I think the cardio advantage is going to be with Hermanson. Hermanson has a very high fight IQ. He's going to know how to keep himself safe in this fight. He's going to move. We saw him move in his last fight. He was on his bike the whole time, avoiding punches, landing a lot of volume, and frustrating his opponent, Chris Curtis. And Curtis was mad. Like, Hermanson wasn't engaging, but Hermanson was outstriking him 3-1. So it was a completely dominant performance by Hermanson. It was one of his best performances. And I feel like if he fights that same style in this fight, he should get the job done. Dolidze has been a very good dog for us over the past few cards. But unfortunately, can't ride with him here. I just think Jack Hermanson on a full camp is just going to be a little bit too much. Obviously, Dolidze with the power is dangerous, but I think Hermanson will keep himself safe, land good volume, keep himself out of the fire, and just fight a very smart fight in this one. Our next fight is in the heavyweight division. Tai Tuivasa taking on Sergey Pavlovich. Was kind of surprised to see Tuivasa as the underdog in this one. These are two heavyweights that are looking to trade. Absolutely big power. Both guys have power. They have both recently knocked out Derek Lewis. We saw Tai have one hell of a fight against Ciryl Gane. Ciryl Gane was just faster, more technical, was really taking it to Tuivasa. And Tuivasa still almost knocked out Gane. He had him hurt. And that says a lot. That was an impressive fight in a loss for Tai Tuivasa. And honestly, if Tai Tuivasa is on the card, it's a very good chance that I'm picking him. In this matchup, he just so happens to be the underdog. Absolutely love that fact. Both guys can win by knockout. Obviously, both can get knocked out. Both can win by knockout. Very dangerous fight. But I just think Tuivasa is extremely durable. He's actually he's very fast. He's much more athletic than I think anybody really gives him credit for. He's been in the firefight. He can go, you know, we saw him go almost into the fourth round with Ciryl Gane, which is, you know, that takes some cardio the way Tai fights. And Pavlovich, a lot of first round finishes. Feel like if this fight goes a little bit longer, it goes really into the advantage of Tuivasa. But I just think overall, Tai Tuivasa as an underdog, solid play. And I do think, you know, if you're picking Tuivasa, you might as well throw a little bit on the KO prop. Yeah, that's it. Tai Tuivasa, solid dog play. Our next fight is in the flyweight division. We have Matthias Nicolau taking on Matt Schnell. And if you guys remember Matt Schnell from the summer, he was in one of the craziest fights we've seen this year. He got rocked pretty badly on the feet, looked like he was going to be finished, came back, landed a big shot of his own, takes the fight to the ground, finds the submission, massive, massive win. He was a big underdog in that fight. He's a big underdog in this fight. Nicolau, very good striker, precision striker, good counters, doesn't absorb a lot of damage. But I think really what this is going to come down to, number one, Matt Schnell needs to not get himself clipped because Nicolau is dangerous. But Nicolau is a low volume guy. He likes to keep himself safe. Matt Schnell does not fight a safe style. He's going to push the pace. He's going to go forward. He's going to make Nicolau uncomfortable. And as long as he can avoid a big shot, I think the pace for Matt Schnell is going to be, just like in the last fight, is going to be what gets him over the edge. I think he could potentially win this fight inside the distance. Submission, knockout. I just like his pace. He's a good-sized dog. I understand that. There's a lot of danger here, but that's Matt Schnell's nickname. So what the hell? We'll roll with the danger. Yeah, I don't know. I like Matt Schnell. I just do. I think he's a very good fighter. He's a high-paced guy. And Nicolau, he wants to outpoint guys. So, yeah, Matt Schnell, biggest underdog on the card for me. And I'm okay with that. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Brian Barberina taking on RDA, Rafael Dos Anjos. Barberina's tough, man. He's always a he's an annoying one to pick because he does fight. He's durable. He puts up a lot of volume. He's a tough out. He's a tough out against anybody. But then, a few fights ago, he lost to a guy like Jason Witt, and you're like, how the hell do you lose to Jason Witt? Well, because he can't defend a takedown. And RDA is going to look to wrestle in this fight. RDA is going to be a little bit undersized, but he's fought the best of the best at welterweight. We talk about it every time. He's fought Usman, he's fought Covington, he's fought Robbie Lawler. So size is not going to be a real issue for him here. He is the better striker, although Barbarina does like to throw a ton of volume. We saw that in his last fight, was getting absolutely pieced up, but just kept throwing punches. And then finally was able to land on Robbie Lawler and get him out of there. But RDA is not going to stand there and play Rock'em Sock'em Robots. He's going to look for takedowns. He's likely going to get the takedowns because Barbarena has not shown the ability to stop takedowns. And that should be the path here for RDA. Five, six takedowns, just over and over. He does have the ability to strike with Barbarina. He's a good striker, good defensively, overall solid fighter. And I just think the advantage in the grappling is what's going to make the difference in this fight. In our main event, we have Kevin Holland taking on Stephen Thompson in the welterweight division. Two guys that love to strike. We've seen both guys kind of get out wrestled pretty badly in their last few fights, but when it comes down to this matchup, Holland is the taller guy. Holland has a solid reach advantage. He has solid power. He's a very good striker. He is fast. Stephen Thompson, very good striker, karate style striker, very accurate, very tough to hit. But in this matchup, I really do think Kevin Holland could grapple. Now, he's been out wrestled by some really good wrestlers. But he does have very good jiu-jitsu. He does have a very good offensive grappling game. And Stephen Thompson really doesn't have a great ground game at all. I mean, he's been dominated pretty badly in his last two or three fights on the ground. And Holland has the game to not only strike with Thompson, but to grapple. And I think he would be smart to grapple in this one. So I do like Kevin Holland here. I like the size advantage. I like that he's younger. I like that he's got a solid reach advantage that comes into play big time with a guy who's very good at controlling distance. And I do think Kevin Holland can control on the ground and look for submissions and make this a pretty crazy back and forth. I do like, not really talking about the DraftKings side of things really a lot here. I don't normally, but again, we're gonna just stack this fight in cash. Because I do see it potentially going pretty long. Both guys land pretty solid volume, and Kevin Holland's never in a boring fight, so I can't see this being one where they just stare at each other. So I do think there is gonna be kind of points to be had on both sides. I do think it's gonna be a competitive fight because, if it stays standing, Wonder Boy is He's very good. I mean, there's no denying that. He's one of the best strikers in the UFC. So I do think it's an interesting fight. I think it's a fun fight, but I think Kevin Holland gets the job done. I think if he's fighting a smart fight, he will look to grapple, and that might be what makes a difference in this one. So there it is, 15 fights. Obviously a lot still to happen. We still have the weigh-ins to go. As always, Cash Core will be in the article at gupscorner.com. That will be out Friday night. You always want to check the weigh-ins. Thoughts after the weigh-ins, obviously. and we'll see if there's any changes. I don't generally don't like to make big changes, but you know, from time to time it does happen. There's 15 fights here, so there's a lot to pay attention to. And then of course you can follow me on my social medias at Tom, what is it? At Tom Zaffino, no, at Tommy Z underscore MMA. That's across the board, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. You can find, I'll post some bets. I'll post some videos of thoughts, breaking down my underdogs a little bit more. Yeah, just some fun stuff, whatever comes to mind. But anyway, as always, we're gonna looking to have a good card, looking to keep the cash train rolling. GupsCorner.com. Again, we'll have the article, cash bar, all that good stuff. And until next time, good luck on Saturday.